to speak to us. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is living and active. And we pray for Johnny as he speaks to us, that your Holy Spirit would take his words and make them living and active in our hearts, Lord. Change us, we pray, to be more like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So over to you, Johnny.
Amen. Thank you very much, guys. And good morning to you. Great to be able to connect with the three churches once again. It's amazing, isn't it? Even though we're all in our own houses, in our own homes, that we can still connect together. And you may just be just a small little impression on my computer, but it's a very special impression indeed. It's really good to be with each of us today. So this morning, we're looking at that whole theme of forgiving one another. There was a lorry driver who stopped at a roadside cafe to get some lunch, and he ordered a cheeseburger and a large Coke, and he was just about to eat it when a motorcycle gang came in. And one of the bikers took a bite out of his cheeseburger and downed his Coke. All the rest of them just laughed and fell around the floor. The lorry driver just silently got up and walked out of the cafe and got back into his cab. With that, one of the bikers turned to the waitress and said, "God, he wasn't much of a man, was he?" And the waitress just kind of shrugged her shoulders and said, "No, he's not much of a driver either. He's just run over 6 motorbikes with his lorry." You got to laugh, haven't you? Revenge is sweet, or so they say. And today we're thinking about the importance of not revenge, but of forgiving one another. And I want to start by reading some verses from a very familiar passage, the Lord's Prayer. One day, Jesus' disciples saw Jesus praying, and they said to him, "Jesus, would you teach us how to pray?" And he gives to them what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And in Luke's version, we read this. It said, "Jesus said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Just in those very short verses, it's very comprehensive model of prayer that Jesus gives to us. And within that prayer, Jesus is instructing us to daily pray for forgiveness and daily action forgiveness. What Jesus is basically telling us is to keep short accounts with God and with one another. And forgiveness is such a crucial part of the Christian faith and how we are to live in relationship with God and one another. And when we extend forgiveness to others, we do the following. The first thing that we're doing is that we're reflecting God's character. See, we're imitating our Heavenly Father when we choose to forgive. God is a forgiving God. He's a merciful God, and he loves to forgive us. And when we do that, we're imitating. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul in verse 31 and 32 says this: "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Then in Colossians 3, verse 13 and 14, he says a very similar thing. He says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." So the question is, how is it that God has forgiven us? Twice Paul says, "Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." How is it that God has forgiven you? Well, when we come to God the Father and we ask him to forgive us, I believe he does this. When we ask for his forgiveness, he forgives us freely. When we say, "Father, forgive us," he doesn't say, "Well, I'll tell you what, write a check for £25 and send it to Jesus Management Company, care of Cloud 3 in heaven." He doesn't. He doesn't say, "Well, give me £25, or maybe if you do this for me, I'll forgive you." No, he forgives us freely. The second thing he does is he forgives us fully. The Bible clearly says to us that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he forgives us the majority of our sins. Is that what it says? Or when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he forgives us 99.9% of our sins, but there is some that he can't. It doesn't say that, does it? It says he is faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all meaning all. So he gives us freely, he gives us fully, and he forgives us immediately. You know, when we come to him and we say, Father, would you forgive us? He doesn't look down from heaven and say, ah, Pozzo, it's you again. What have you done this time? Oh, I can't believe it. I'll tell you what, why don't you give me a few days to think about it? It's the weekend and I'll have a think about it and I'll come back to you on Monday and I'll let you know whether I'm going to forgive you or not. He doesn't act like that. When we come to him and we ask for forgiveness, he forgives us freely, fully, and immediately. And it's in that manner, and it's with that spirit, that God the Father wants us to forgive others. So the first thing that happens is that when we extend forgiveness to others, that we reflect his character. But secondly, when we forgive others, it releases us from bondage. Giving and receiving forgiveness leads us into freedom, relationally, spiritually, and physically. The story about the unmerciful servant, which Owls told Jeff, is a very powerful reminder of the consequences of harboring unforgiveness. You see, when we withhold something from somebody, we think that we are punishing them, that they're the ones who are suffering. But strangely enough, it's the other way around. When we withhold forgiveness towards others, it's us who are imprisoned. It's us who are put into chains and in turmoil. Because in some way we're connected to that person and we will never be free until we release them into the freedom of our forgiveness. So the scriptures are really clear that we need to receive forgiveness and we need to extend forgiveness. And Jesus tells us that we're to do that on a daily basis, that we're to come to the Father to receive forgiveness and we're to extend forgiveness to all those who have hurt us or wronged us in whatever way. So really, it's quite simple, isn't it? It's quite straightforward. Everyone should be able to understand what Jesus is asking us to do. It's not as straightforward as we'd like it to be, though, is it? It was C.S. Lewis who said this: forgiveness is a nice idea until you have someone to forgive. And that's true, isn't it? We can all talk a good game, but when it actually comes to having to forgive somebody, that's a little bit more tricky. What does forgiveness actually practically look like? Here's a couple of things. Firstly, forgiveness is resisting the temptation for revenge. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, Paul says this: do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Now, there's something deep within the human psyche that demands justice be served when wrongs are committed. When we've been hurt, when we've been insulted or mocked or injured or falsely accused, then we want justice. And I'm sure that every single one of us can tell a story as we journey through this life about how we've been taken advantage of how we've been offended, of how we've been hurt, or how we've been misused or abused in different ways. And all of us will have a story. And maybe we can look at it from the other side. Maybe we've actually done the taken advantage of, or we've done the ones who've done the hurting. It works both ways. But I want to ask you a question. I wonder, have you ever fantasized about getting even, seeing someone who's hurt you get what's coming to them? Or if you hear that something bad has happened to a person who has hurt you in the past, do you secretly feel good inside? And do you think, yeah, that's great, they deserve that. That's payback time. If we're honest, we all like the idea of revenge, of getting our own back when someone misuses us or treats us badly. We want them to pay. We want them to feel what we feel. Hollywood has produced a host of films from classics like True Grit to The Count of Monte Carlo to more recent films like Kill Bill to Taken, all stories of people who are driven by revenge. But seriously, have you ever got revenge and felt good about it? Revenge consumes the one seeking it, sometimes for years, and when they finally get it, they find that it's empty and unfulfilling. As someone once wrote, he said, if you begin the journey of revenge, start by digging two graves, one for your enemy and one for yourself. So the first thing that we see is that when we truly forgive, is resisting the temptation for revenge. The second thing is that it's refusing to keep score. In that passage in 1 Corinthians 13, it's all about love. Love is patient, love is kind. And when it gets to verse 5, it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Amen. But in 1969, you did. Have you ever said that? You ever got into an argument and someone has been talking about some current thing that you've said or done, and then suddenly you pull it out? Yeah, but when we were kids at school, you... Or maybe it's happened the other way around. Or maybe you've heard this. I'll forgive you, but I will never forget. You ever said that? Or you've ever had that said to you? I'm so glad that God doesn't respond to us in the same way. That when we confess our sins, they're gone. It's as if he forgets it. And I believe sometimes there would be so much that forgiveness and forgetfulness are actually pretty closely connected. That if you're someone who's struggling and every time you see a certain person or you're in a certain situation, you have these flashbacks and all you can think of is this thing that was said or done, or a anger rises, or then I encourage you to get some prayer and to spend time before God asking for freedom from those things. You see, when we really choose to forgive, we're also choosing to keep no record of scores. Thirdly, it's also praying for those who have hurt us. In Matthew 5, verse 43 to 45, Jesus says this, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You may be thinking, well, okay, I get that. I know that I need to forgive. I know that I need to resist the temptation for revenge. I know that I just need to forget and not keep a record of scores. But Jesus, sure, I don't actually have to physically pray for these people. Jesus says, yes. But you don't know what they've done to me. But Jesus does. And he still says, I want you to forgive them and I want you to pray for them. But in fact, he even goes even further than that. Because in Luke chapter 6, he says, also, you should wish them well. Not only should you pray for them, but you should pray God's blessing upon them. You should pray that God will provide for them, that God will protect them, that God's open heaven will be upon them and their families. What? Surely not, Lord. That's just too much. Jesus says, no. This is how I want you to respond. This is how I want you to forgive. So that gives you a glimpse of what forgiveness is. But it's really important that we understand what forgiveness is not. And this is really important. There's some people here this morning, I'm sure, who really need to be reminded of these truths. The first is this. This is what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not saying that what the person or persons did or said was okay. That it didn't matter or it didn't hurt. Because it's not true. The things that were done, the things that were said did matter and they did hurt and they were painful and they did cause suffering at different times or stress or anxiety. So we're not pretending that somehow that didn't affect us. No. What we're choosing to do in that moment is saying we're choosing, despite the pain, despite the suffering, we're choosing to release them into the freedom of God's forgiveness. There's a little saying that says, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, what a load of rubbish that is, isn't it? Some of the things that we've done to each other, some of the things we've said to each other, even as Christians, have almost been demonic. And we need to be careful how we speak to one another and what we speak over one another. Because there are some people here today who are probably still living under things that are spoken over them as children. And I pray that you may be free from the hurt of that and free from the way in which that locks you into a certain lifestyle, locks you into a certain behavior pattern. Only Jesus can bring true freedom to us. But when we confess and when we forgive, we can walk into that freedom. So forgiveness is not saying that what the people did was okay. Secondly, forgiveness is not waiting for an apology. You say, well, I'll forgive them when they say sorry. It doesn't actually work like that. You may be waiting a very long time. Forgiveness is something we choose to do despite how they respond. Thirdly, forgiveness is not enabling a person's sinful behavior to continue. And this is really important for some people to hear. You know, there are some people, some relationships that are toxic. And we need to put in the right boundaries, not just for our protection and well-being, but also for their long-term benefit. To enable someone to continue to take drugs is not a helpful thing for them. Turning a blind eye to criminal activity or remaining in an abusive relationship is not a wise thing to do. Sometimes we need to put in boundaries. We forgive, of course we do, and we keep on forgiving, but we put boundaries in place. You see, sometimes separation is a necessary means to allow intervention, for someone to receive counselling, healing and treatment, which can help towards their healing. Now, choosing not to retaliate or to seek revenge, but to come in a different spirit, a spirit of grace and forgiveness when someone has caused us harm or discomfort, is not an easy thing to do. True forgiveness, total forgiveness, requires the work of God in our lives. True forgiveness is not a natural act, but it's a supernatural act. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian who, during the Second World War, she hid Jews from the Nazis. And she was caught doing that. And she was sent to a Ravensbrück concentration camp, along with her father and along with her sister, Betsy. And in that camp, her father and her sister both died. But she survived. And after the war, she would go around churches just giving her testimony and sharing about the power and the importance of forgiveness. On one of those occasions, she was in a church in Germany, and she looked out on the congregation and she saw one of the old prison guards from the camp. And he was one of the cruelest and one of the meanest guards there was. And when she saw him, she felt this coldness come over. She felt the sickness in the pit of her stomach, and she felt anger begin to rise within her. She pictured him just as he was then, and she remembered all the atrocious things he had said and done. She remembered on one occasion having to walk past him naked and just the things he said and did. After the service, this man came up to Corrie ten Boom and said to her, "I was one of the prison guards at the camp you were talking about, and I did some very cruel things. But I've now become a Christian, and I know that God, my Father, has forgiven me. He's given me a new life, and he's now given me an opportunity to ask one of my victims if they would forgive me. Miss ten Boom, would you forgive me?" I'll let Corrie tell you her response herself.
"Will you forgive me?" And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father." Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
True forgiveness is not a natural act, it's a supernatural act. But God has given us his Holy Spirit to help us. This total unlimited forgiveness can transform individuals, family life, broken marriages, and whole communities. I wonder, can I give you this challenge today? Will you choose to walk in true forgiveness towards others, whatever they've done? Will you choose to do what Jesus instructs us to do on a daily basis, to both receive his forgiveness and to extend his forgiveness to others? Will you choose to keep short accounts with God and with one another? The Holy Spirit can help you, but ultimately the choice is yours. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, you'd minister your word to our hearts. And Father, I ask for anyone who is struggling to receive forgiveness from you today would know that they're loved and that they're precious and that you're your child. And that when they confess their sins, you do forgive us.